ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I am the host of the show. I'm excited to be here to have another deep dive into an extraordinary topic. And today I'm excited to have Shelley Engteam back, amazing astrologer and teacher and holistic health practitioner. And today we're going to talk about beliefs and feelings, but largely beliefs versus truth surrounded in, or focused in, I should say, the upcoming eclipse in May. And we're going to get into the details of that and talk about some of the influences that are happening now. I like to do these shows, and particularly with Shelley, because I see and understand the influences that astrology can help us to better understand what's going on, the influences of energy and things that are coming into our world that have an impact, that have a tremendous impact on what we experience and what we see and what happens in the world. And so I really enjoy these conversations because they give us just another context from which to view and experience what's going on in our world. And I kind of feel like the more tools we have, the more ways we have to explore what we're experiencing, the greater the experience and the greater our ability to respond to it. So I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be a terrific show. Shelley's going to be with us in just a second. And in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. I'll be right back. All right. Fear is a Choice book. That's this right here. Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. And I encourage you to go to www.fearisachoicebook.com, where you can learn more about the book. This is a powerful book that changes your relationship with fear. This book is all about understanding how we have evolved in fear and how we need to change that consciousness in order to extract ourselves from that consciousness. That when you read this book, you'll begin to see in absolute clarity how a shift from a fear-based consciousness to an opportunity-based consciousness is significant, important, but necessary to our evolution, necessary to our expansion of consciousness, necessary to us coming into an even deeper relationship with self, and capital S self, meaning the higher self, the expanded part of who we are. Remembering, we've done a lot of shows recently, and we'll do another show here, I think, next week, talking about understanding what this is all about, self-awareness, getting into that understanding of self-awareness. And part of that is recognizing your relationship with fear, because when that relationship is unconscious, the mind runs the show. And then the mind constantly feeds to you the things that you need or want to see in order to maintain that fear bubble. When you change the relationship, it changes that experience. So www.fearisachoicebook.com, please check it out. There are links to order the book with Barnes & Noble and Amazon and IndieBound and Kindle. And there's some videos there too that you can partake of. But I encourage you to go and check it out. I appreciate you guys very much. And we'll be right back. Me and my buttons. Boom. All All right, part two. My world is good. My world is good and your world is good. Here we are, 7.5 to 8 billion people on this planet. And actually, I want to rewind that. That comes out too quickly. 7.5 to 8 billion unique worlds inhabiting this planet. And I need that rewind because it's important to recognize that the whole point of the Year of Conscious Creation is understanding how powerful you are. It's understanding how incredible your energy is and what it can accomplish and how simply and easily it can accomplish that. That's what this movement is driven on. It's the idea that these 7.5 to 8 billion unique worlds are all creating their own reality. We are all, and why do I say that? And it's really straightforward because no one can live your life for you. No one can create your life for you. No one can change your life for you. Even if there are influences that are coming in, they can't be effective if you don't choose them, if you don't engage them in some form, whether unconsciously or consciously. Important distinction. We run a lot of our lives from an unconscious level. And the Year of Conscious Creation is about understanding those things and beginning to make change in those things. So the movement is simple. It doesn't require anything other than your energy, your focus, your intention, and attention. I don't need your email. I don't need your money. I don't need anything. It doesn't matter what your sex, your politics, your religion, your color, your race, it doesn't matter. My world is good is a positive, a neutral positive statement that fills your space with the clarity of what's good. And what I mean by that is that remember that what you are seeing out in the world is your perception of the world based on the things you believe, the ideas you hold, and the things that you feel and think. So your perception, the things you see are reflecting back to you what you believe. So I want you to add a new layer to that. I want you to add my world is good 10 times in the morning, 10 times before you go to bed. Actually clarifying, 10 times when you wake up in the morning, when you come back into your body and you're getting ready to get up, my world is good. My world is good as you're nestling under the covers. My world is good. And you're feeling that warmth. My world is good. My world is good. Even before your feet touch the floor, you are creating this energy. And what's happening in that context is that the more of us that do that, and the reason that I created this was so that we could, as a group, as a soul focus, we could generate this energy of my world is good and create a tipping point in the mass conscious of this planet, because we've seen so much negativity and so much intensity over the last number of years that I wanted to do something that could help ameliorate that, change that focus. And that's what this is about. My world is good. Join the movement. Be a part of this process because it's powerful, because it's impactful, and because it will change your life and perception as it changes all of our lives and perception. I appreciate you, and I appreciate you being part of it. When you see these posts, make sure you share them. Make sure you tell everybody about it, because all that's required is just some attention and intention. It's an awesome thing. So thank you for that. We'll be back right after this, and we'll get back, and we'll bring Shelly in. All right, here we are. Good morning, Shelly. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you?
I'm great. I loved listening to you right now. It was beautiful. Yeah, it was the truth.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Really do. I'm so excited that you're back. I'm so excited to have you back to have this conversation. I love looking at things from an astrological perspective, mainly because it's a way. I mean, there's lots of reasons, but for me, the one main reason is because I have the experience that as you become more conscious, as you become more aware, that the tools then become ways for things to be brought into your field of awareness or brought into your field here, where you get to look at them and say, okay, this is interesting. I get to objectify it, I guess is what I'm saying. I get to look at it from a kind of neutral or objective perspective and say, oh, this is interesting. There are these influences. And if I can sit back and observe them, I'm going to better able to tell and see how these influences are happening. Because over time in my own lifetime, I found it to be remarkable that and I'm, we're not talking about necessarily the daily horoscope that you read in the newspaper, because that's a very, very, very broad, very kind of, you know, it's hard to apply. This is the actual minutia of the astrological experience where you're understanding these energies and then you can sit back and observe them unfolding. But yes. Anyway, I don't want to get too far down that rabbit hole because.
Well, just to say, astrology is ruled by Aquarius, and that's an air sign that is about detached observation and energy. It's the quality of energy. So that's exactly what it's there to do, is to give us that ability.
Fantastic. That's so cool. So let's talk, let's open this up a little bit. Let's lay the groundwork before we go into our focus meditation here. So we have this powerful eclipse coming. There's we were talking earlier about some Neptune influence that's happening right now. And I think you said Mars was the other one in Gemini.
Mars and Gemini is the other one.
So tell us a little bit about what these influences are bringing to us over the next month.
Well, let me say that the Sagittarius full moon, the moon will be in Sagittarius for the eclipse. And a lunar eclipse is going to change relationship. It's about feelings. So there's going to be a change and a new beginning in some way. And Sagittarius is that sign that is about belief, and we can see how we have been divided as a nation into two different belief camps that don't have a lot in common. And so when we're looking at an eclipse, we're looking at the collective and our own personal lives. So, you know, you're going to be exploring what your beliefs are about relationship in some facet, and we are as a collective going to be focused on that. So Neptune is a planet that can.
Before we go to Neptune, can I ask some question here? Yeah, because of my understanding about the Sagittarian energy in particular. So I have an understanding of Sagittarian energy that is ultimately that its core is about the expression of freedom, that it has this desire to be free in its expression. It's wanderlust is one of the words that I remember.
I was going to give you, all right. Freedom is something we could talk about with Aries and Aquarius.
Okay.
Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter and the principle is expansion.
Okay, good. That's a good clarification.
Yeah, we want to expansion from, you know, we go to a different place. We want to see more. We want to, you know,
the polarity there then is either higher learning or there is an element of government, but not government, but
collective. Control.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. You could do a whole show on the development of consciousness in the zodiac. And when you get around to Sagittarius, you've made partnerships outside of the family. You're moving toward the collective awareness, and the collective awareness does certain rituals and, you know, and forms religion and belief systems. And, you know, that's going to go into the Capricorn next, which is the government and the structures and all of that. So, yeah, but it's higher education. It's like we have the Gemini polarity is, you know, when we're using our mind to navigate our environment where we are now and communicate with it and with each other and learn the necessary skills to navigate, you know, qualifying and learn the names of your parents first, you know, learn, you know, it's like that. And Sagittarius wants us to broaden out to see the big picture. So Gemini's focused on getting those details right. You need both.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes we go further into one side than the other.
Well, and is the Gemini energy kind of speaking to the division? Or is that a different energy?
The Gemini energy is, here's the energy. right? Okay. This is where, you know, ideally, Mercury, which rules Gemini, is going out and gathering facts and bringing back the information, you know, that you need. And what we've had to deal with the Neptune squaring this polarity, is that whole thing of faux news. And, you know, so like I said, there's a whole group of people that believe that this group is lying to us, and this other group thinking that those people are lying to us, you know. So it's been extremely unsettling for everybody. And that's what you said earlier about why we have to start putting a positive. And when you said neutral, that's not a political statement. My world is good. Right. You know, it's just like, I'm going to experience the goodness in my world, you know? And that's where, you know, if we can heal the divisions, that's one of the ways we can do it.
Good. Well, that's a beautiful place to start. Let's, because we can get into Neptune and that on the other side of the meditation, if that's okay. Because sure. I know that's going to go, we're going to go down the rabbit hole there. So, which is a good thing. But I want to make sure we get everybody online with us as we go. So,
okay.
All right. We'll be right back. Shelley, I'll be right back in just a second. So guys, we're going to take a moment to focus here. This is a part of the show that I do every time we have a show because two reasons. I want to put my money where my mouth is with regard to daily practice. So this is an opportunity for us to really focus our energy, to work with breath for a moment and to get that little practice in. But even more importantly, I strongly believe in the concept of where two or more are gathered. And as you are out there, wherever you are, all around the world listening to the show, I want to make sure that we are fine-tuned into the same field of energy, that we are aligned together so that even if you don't comment or don't send something, the things that you're thinking and feeling are contributing to this energy. And as we are talking, as Shelley and I are unfolding this topic, that we will address the questions and thoughts and ideas that you're having about this and clarifying them, so that you are getting those answers even because you are participating in this field. That's how energy works in my world. So here we go. We're going to be breathing in through the nose and out from the mouth from here forward, if you will join me in that. And I want you to just take a deep breath in through the nose, feel that air, and just become aware of how you breathe. And just take that deep breath, fill yourself full of air, and then let it out through the mouth. Just release it, don't hold it, don't control it, just surrender it. And I want you to settle into the space that you're in, whether you're sitting or laying down, whatever you're doing, if you can focus with me for just a moment. Let your eyes close if you're able to do that. Of course, if you're driving, please don't do that. And take a deep breath again in through the nose and out through the mouth. And I want you to focus all of your awareness into the center of your chest, into your heart. I want you to bring your awareness right into the heart space. And from that space, I want you to observe your field. And what is your field? Your field is the energy that surrounds you, the energy that is emanating from you. So understand that this is not something separate. This is coming from the source of who you are, emanating through your physical vessel and out into the ether. And you have this enormous field of energy around you that is all you. And I want you to become aware of it. Remember, we are in self-awareness. We are in the evolution of self-awareness. And part of that is being aware that you are way more than this physical vessel that you are sitting in currently. So bring that awareness to that field and just notice it. You're going to see it however you do. You may feel it. You may see it. You may sense it. There's lots of ways that you can do that, and you have your own unique style and way of interpreting those things. Allow for that right now. You may be wildly attached to art, so you see images in artistic form. It's all perfect. Just be aware of what you are seeing. And then I want you to become aware as you're seeing this field that surrounds you, excuse me, I want you to become aware of there are areas in your field that are attending to things in your environment, right? We are energetic beings interacting all the time. So there's always things that are being attended to in the field. But notice that as you look through your field, there are lots of little things. You know, you may hear a sound, you may have some thoughts or ideas about things all around in your field. And then there are other more dense energies, more heavy or solid looking energies hanging out. These are things that are not resolved in your field. They're just energy clusters. And they're there because you have either removed your energy, removed your attention, or chosen not to address them in whatever, for whatever, you know, we all do it. It's not a unique thing. But I want you to become aware of them, because those things, and the bigger they are, the more they take your energy, the more they absorb your energy, and the less energy that is available to you because it's being consumed by these things that are hanging out in your field. Become aware of them. That's all. Self-awareness. Become aware of them. What I'm going to ask you to do now is, keeping that focus into the heart space, is I want you to command your field into your heart space. I want you to feel yourself drawing that powerful, unbelievable, incredible field of energy, moving it into your heart space, and let all that stuff that you were attending to stay out there. Leave it out there in the field, in the ether. If it's important, it'll be there when you come back. If it's not, it'll dissipate and will no longer affect you. So do feel that sense of energy in your chest. I want you to be aware, as you pull that energy in, there's sensation with that. There's warmth, there's tingling, there's sensation happening. And with that energy now focused into the heart space, I want you to explore the interior of you. Excuse me, I don't know what the tickle is about this morning. I want you to experience the interior of you. I want you to explore with your energy inside your head and go in, up and around and through your brain. Touch into the pituitary. Experience your own physicalness, right? Let that consciousness roam through your body as you explore all of the bones and tissues and muscles and nerves and blood vessels, and all of it's magnificent. But the thing I want you to be aware of as you travel, go through the brain, be aware of this magnificent organ that's filling your head, and see behind your own eyes and your own sinuses. But trace around to the back and go down the brainstem, where the brainstem connects to the spinal cord, and notice this incredible, incredible cord that runs up and down your entire body. And it's surrounded in this fluid and protected by the bone of the vertebra. And that it's flexible and movable, and you can move with it just a little bit and feel that incredible flow of energy up and down the spine. And then as it radiates to the nerves that are emanating off the spine, and notice in your own beingness the incredible number of systems that are working in harmony inside of this physical vessel that's all driven by energy. And as you finish that exploration, just coalesce all that energy back into your heart again. And we're going to refocus into the breath. We're going to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. We're going to start with a count of four on an inhale. We're going to hold for a couple at the top, feeling full. And then we're going to release from the mouth for six. Because this air that you're breathing, this energy that you're taking is exactly that. It's energy. It's life force. It's prana. It's chi. You are consciously breathing in this powerful force and consciously purging old energy from your system. So the extension of the exhale is to purge the deepest parts of the lungs so that you make room for new energy, for new vitality. So here we go, as we focus into the breath. As we inhale to a count of four, we're filling completely. Two, three, four, feeling full and amazing, feeling great, feeling at the top, full, and now choosing to release from the mouth, purging. Two, three, four, let it all go. Five, six, and now rest right there in that emptiness. This is the preparation for receiving. Open, available. Consciously choose now to engage your breath as you inhale. Two, three, four, feeling full, feeling amazing as you relax everything into that fullness. And now you're going to let it all go. Purge it, let it go. Two, three, four, five, six, completely empty. And now rest in that void. Rest in that state of receiving. And then choose to receive as you engage the breath and inhale. Two, three, four, you've received all of this amazing new energy. Relax into it, appreciate it, feel it, and now surrender it. Let it go as you purge. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and now resting in the void, resting in that emptiness, being just as comfortable in the space of nothing. And now you continue this on your own. Continue the rhythm of the breath as you inhale, feeling full, letting your breath expand in 360 degrees as you reach the top, feeling the enormity, the beauty of all of this energy and air, and then releasing it, consciously choosing to surrender all of it in the moment. That's the power that you have. That's the power of you. You create in every moment of breath. You choose it, you sustain it, and then you consciously surrender it so that the new can come in, so that you're available and ready for this new energy. Continue to feel that cycle. Continue to breathe into that cycle. And as you do, take these words in, let them wash over you, let them penetrate every aspect of your being. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, I expand, and I engage. I am. Oh. I just feel that extraordinariness of who you are. Feel the power and magnificence of all that you are, that you have just experienced. Your ability to claim energy, your ability to surrender energy, your ability to let it be in flow. That's what self-awareness is about. And now consciously allow that field that you've brought into your heart, that magnificent, powerful field, allow it now to expand back out into the world. And look at that glistening, glowing, gorgeous, incredible field that you have, and watch it continue to expand even beyond your perception, because you are that much. And allow your awareness to come back into this moment as we bring Shelly back into the space here and we continue down this conversation as we go more deeply into breaking down the eclipse. Welcome back. Hi.
Thank you. That was a nice ride. I enjoyed it very much.
It's a good ride. All right, so before we dove in there, we were talking about, we had just finished talking, or we're still maybe talking about the Mars Gemini situation, and you were getting ready, I think, to talk about Neptune.
Yeah, I was going to say that the Neptune energy, which can be a high form of spiritual energy, the fish and the swimming upside of the glyph, it also becomes the fears. That is a big planet of fear, and that causes a lot of negative energy, escapist, illusion, deception, you know, all of martyrdom, victimhood, you know, all of that is in the downward swimming fish. So, you know, there's a line connecting them. So that's what we have to reconnect to, the fish swimming up.
So are you saying that then Neptune is a bit of a polarity, meaning that there is the higher learning, or the elevated, whatever, I'm not finding my words this morning, but and then the other side of that. So one side is illumination, the other side is
fear.
Fear, yeah, is illusion. Thank you. There it is. Illumination, you know,
Well, the water signs are feelers. And so also Neptune and Pisces absorb.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, like what we were doing over the last 4 years was absorbing a collective energy that was full of fear.
Yeah.
And deception, and, you know, the conspiracies and the lie, you know, I mean, it's just been overwhelming. I think everybody's in post-traumatic shock disorder from this consciousness being there. Constant companion, you know, yeah. instead of my world is good, which is the antidote, you know. So,
The part of it that I'm kind of amazed by is we're, you know, we've come through quite a lot, but the interesting part of it is that what we've come through, to my, the way I see it, is that that was the cataclysmic event, and it took like 4 years of cataclysm to finally shake up all of the illusions that we've been carrying about one, who we are, not only individually, but collectively.
Yes.
And so now we're getting to see, as you talk about the Mars and Gemini, and we talk about the Neptune energy and the building up of this energy over the course of the next month or so.
Yeah.
It's been extraordinary to me to observe all of those influences unfolding before our eyes in terms of the polarity. It's now almost ridiculous.
Yeah.
The divide in our understanding. So it's almost like the alternate reality has fully realized. And so there are some in one reality and some in another reality. And now it's a question of how are we going to resolve that? And it seems like there is no resolution to the divide. We have to create a bigger space to hold all of it. Does that sound right?
So, okay.
Maybe.
And how we create it. No, I'm a Sag, so I expand. So I have to learn how to say to people, yes, and then expand. So they don't think that I'm, you know, discounting what they said, you know, like, right. I get fired up. I'm a fire sign. So I get fired up by what people are saying. So yeah, I mean, absolutely right. And if we understand that the fear is the bottom, both sides had fear. Mm-hmm. Not one side didn't have all the fear.
Right.
And so that we do things to make ourselves understand that was fear. And just what you said in the beginning about where you're focusing your consciousness is what I started to learn during that. So yes, it was big for us to go back and claim our power. So the power is our focus. So how are we holding things? So the more people, it's just what you said, the more people that hold a higher focus, the more it goes out into the environment. I mean, you can't yell at a child who's in having a nightmare.
Right.
You know, you have to love the child out of the nightmare.
That makes total sense.
So the Mars and Gemini piece comes in here because Mars is hot and it's the warrior, and Gemini now is the thinking and the mind. And we've seen a lot of people who were complete, went over the edge and started shooting people and, you know, attacking and stuff like that. So a quest for more information is a good thing to use that Mars for. You know,
and that's what's happening now, and on the other side, with particularly within all of the government agencies that are now beginning to do all of their in-depth, what happened, what's been happening, what's going on behind the scenes that we haven't been able to see for a long time,
and in the big picture, exactly. Before all of that took place, we had big issues we were dealing with, and we suddenly dropped them to focus on, you know, the COVID and the election energies. So we're going back to get information. If we are pursuing information, which I'm seeing, which is thrilling me, about how we can, we talked about change last time we were together. Mm-hmm. Change is inevitable, but people resist it. So there are things that could change our experience. Talk about our world is good. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things on the table that are super duper good and will help people have jobs and stuff. So, you know, we're looking at that, and we're still looking at a polarity of people who are angry, you know, like starting to really express all the anger that comes from fear, right?
Yeah.
Fear is the basis for the anger. And so, you know, we're dealing with that. And as we come to any full moon, the energy is increasing. Because why? Because we're having more light. And because it's the moon, it's feelings. So the feelings intensify.
Yes.
And so when we come to a full moon, it's a pinnacle. It's like the summer solstice, time of greatest light. So you're either having fruition on things that you've worked on at that point, or you're seeing what, wow, I'm seeing the light, you know, like, look at this. So it's a time for us to examine where our beliefs are, you know, where are we being dogmatic? You know, where are we holding ourselves in a belief, even about if it's on a personal life level, you know, what I think that person should be?
Yeah.
You know, I believe that when I'm with somebody, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, belief and truth. This is where I wanted to discuss the fact that truth and belief are not an equal. There is no equal sign between. Right. Because one of the examples I use is, you know, the people who believe the earth is flat.
Yes.
And people who believe it's round. Somebody must be right there. There can't be both of those people being right. And when I hear people say, well, this is my truth, I go crazy from that as a Sagittarian. Because a Sag is a sign of truth. No, that's your feeling. And that's how you're seeing your world right now. And it could have truth.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it becomes a, just like fake news. You can't make a belief truth, and you can't make truth a belief. It doesn't work that way. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will, because I think we're now at the point where we can actually get into the what you're talking about with the energies of the actual eclipse and what that's going to be about with this belief versus truth concept. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Shelley's going to chat with you guys for a second. Well, for a couple minutes, and then we're going to continue to dive into the actual eclipse. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm mutable.
I am mutable. Love it. All right, gang, we'll be back in just a second.
Science of Transformation Method, and I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you. All right, guys, www.thesciencetransformation.com. I would love to work with you. I have an amazing program that is all about helping transform this understanding of this fear-based consciousness and shifting to an opportunity-based consciousness. My program is full of great tools and support and coaching to help refocus and to bring your life through you, through your energy, to the place that you have desired for it to be. And to really break through from the limitations that have kept you from actualizing the greatest parts of yourself. So www.thesciencetransformation.com, check it out. There you can sign up for a free consultation with me. I think it's a 15-minute deal where we can talk about seeing if you're in alignment with what this program is about and what it can do for your life. And you can also check out some testimonials and videos on the website. And I hope you do that. And we're going to bring Shelley back now. And Shelley's going to visit with y'all for a minute about the amazing work that she does. So I'm going to step out of the way here. And Shelley, the show is yours.
I'm taking it away. This morning I thought that I should tell you something else about me. If you go to shellyantine.com, you know, you can get readings with me. Obviously, I'm an astrologer. So there is an astrology page and a readings page. You can find out about all the different kinds of readings I do there. and you can order them and you can get in touch with me. But one of the things that I'm being fascinated about right now is I'm teaching. I am a teacher also. And if you've been inspired to learn more about astrology, I can also mentor you in learning. I teach other things like Bach flower remedies. I'm giving a workshop on part two of the Bach flowers, which is some really interesting ways of finding flowers and working with them, energy medicine. And I've also been mentoring again with the Alliance of Divine Love Ministerial Lessons. I became an interfaith reverend in 1992. Originally, just for the purpose of being legal doing astrology, because you really had to have an entertainment license to be legal. And that meant having the parking capacity of a nightclub or something like that. But as a reverend, this is considered spiritual counseling. And so for people who do things like Reiki and energy work or things that other types of counseling, I have a friend who does counseling with something called the emotion code. And so this is an umbrella for those things. And so the mentorship has been incredible. I've been working with the lessons. There are 36 of them, and then you get ordained. And just communicating with students and how much that can bring up, how much enlightenment and self-realization you can get just from the lessons. So if you have any desire to become an interfaith reverend and with an organization that's been around since the 1970s and has the ability under their umbrella for you to legally, with the government of the United States, operate a chapel, a church, a center, you can get that as an ADL reverend. So it just came up for me because I had such an incredible experience myself recently with the lessons. So just wanted to let you know there are other things about me, but the astrology is something I've been doing for a very long time. And as I always tell people, if I didn't see it working, I wouldn't still be doing it. So it is a really wonderful tool to understand what's going on around us and to see also the directions, because this topic that we're on today is going to shift for next year. We won't be in the same learning curve. We'll be in a different one. And it's good to know. It's good to have that information so you can look at it for your life and so you can understand what's going on around you. I find it very helpful. I put daily forecasts on my Astro Lessons Facebook page and smaller ones on my Instagram, Shelley and Teen Astrology. And so, you know, find me. Get information from me.
Yes. Do that thing. www.shelleyandteen.com or I think I put it up here as well. Astro Lessons on Facebook. If you want a less direct connection to kind of see what Shelley's doing, you can go that direction. But amazing work. Make sure you avail yourself. Say hi to Shelley. All right. So we are diving in here. I want to bring up while we're here. So I'm putting up the graphic as we talk about the eclipse specifically. This graphic, eclipses bring necessary endings so we may plant the seeds of change in order to align us with our soul's path. Love that. All right, so let's dive in here to this amazing energy thing that and the whole concept of these beliefs and fears and ultimately beliefs versus truth.
Well, you know, when you come in, as you show in one of your pieces, the little embryo, I mean, the minute you get here, you realize you're alone in a body and you have to survive and people are going to help you. So this is where you absorb beliefs from people who are around you. And I mean, I had a unique childhood having three major religions in my family under the same roof. in a large Victorian home. And I really didn't know there were issues between religions until I was out in the broader world, not even just elementary school, but junior high, where I first started seeing that people had issues with each other. Mm-hmm. So the belief, I didn't absorb that belief of, you know, they're no good and we're the only good ones. I never actually received that. Yeah. Which was, you know, kind of makes, maybe helps me be more observant of it, you know. But all the stuff that we're given that's negative is stuff that comes from somebody's fear, because we absorb the belief so that we'll fit in to the tribe. Yes. You talked about going out further with Sagittarius. It's like, we do these rituals, we do these things. But Sagittarius is also the sign of the indigenous people, because they were working with natural law, our actual truth, and in constant awareness of what you call the field, the energy around you and your interaction with all the kingdoms, the plants, the animals, the, you know, no, nothing was superior.
Right.
It was interconnected and also with the people that were around you. You know, there were very strong, supportive connections. Now, this is idealized image. I'm sure there were plenty of issues in communities, too. But we have broadened so much that it's hard for us to remember that.
You know, yeah.
It's hard to plug into that.
Well, the other thing that strikes me when we talk about this, and particularly with regard to the culmination of the energy around the eclipse, is these beliefs versus truth is that has been and continues to be. It's not, you know, as we were talking about before, there was the cataclysmic events of that unfolding. And now we are getting to see the, as things are settling, the idea, and even we were talking just a minute ago, that people are beginning to assume that because they have a belief that that's truth, and they're purporting that belief as truth, which is just another illusion in the Neptunian energy of no, wait, you misunderstand. And so we're getting to see the unraveling of that now, I think, at least from my perception, as they begin, as things begin to be looked at more intently and more focus, that there's, we're starting to see this clear divide of people that are just, you know, bonkers in my mind, you know.
Right, it boggles mine too.
Just because you think the sky is purple doesn't mean that's the truth of what's going on.
Well, you
it
can
may
see
be.
How,
yeah,
I'm sorry. You can see how strong the belief is when the prophecy of what was going to happen on a certain day doesn't happen, and then they run to the next prophecy. Like, you know, like, well, maybe that it's not right. I mean, a thinking person.
Yeah, and maybe we need to seek truth instead of seeking some panacea for something else.
It's amazing how the belief is taken, but you have to think then there's the bottom of that is some fear. And when we get to, when we look at the fact that we had so many lunar eclipses last year, we can see how much effect there was on relationships, because these beliefs have divided families.
Well, and it's been that, like you said, it's that whole emotional thing. It's just this constant pressure on our emotional system. Because from my world, I'm going to take just a quick detour here. We have, I want to acknowledge Sammy. Sammy has popped in to just say, important topic today. Thanks, Sammy. We appreciate you being here and appreciate you sharing with us.
I do, too. Yes.
So this belief versus truth idea, this the emotional content continues to be significant, and we continue to have this stimulation in our emotional body, because from my world, a belief is nothing more than a thought you keep thinking and a feeling you keep regurgitating, or a story you keep telling over and over and over again is what makes it a belief. In no way does that ever become truth. It may become your truth in the sense that small t truth, not capital T truth, it becomes your truth because you've talked yourself into the belief of it over time.
Right.
But it does not relate to the reality of how energy works or how anything works. It's just a perception. So
exactly.
what I'm excited about in this whole kind of.
So we have another opportunity. I mean, all of these things are opportunities. And yes. So when the eclipse comes and it's a Sagittarius full moon, we're looking at, again, like, how am I approaching, how do I approach my relationships with my beliefs, you know, my relationship with myself first, which you also touched on earlier. You know, like, what you believe about yourself is what you draw in, mm-hmm. you know, and so we often have, again, very unconscious, you know, so to bring this into consciousness, we have mm-hmm. the planet, let's say the right now we've got Jupiter in Aquarius and Saturn in Aquarius to sort of like focus us in that objective. Let's examine this. Let's observe this. And, you know, the Saturn energy is sometimes an obstacle, but right now it's helping this. Mm-hmm. It's helping us try to come into some understanding, some wisdom about what's going on. And even, you know, our feelings about those people who have those crazy thoughts, mm-hmm. you know, we are afraid of them. And we are afraid of them because look what they did. You know, I mean, if we weren't afraid of them before, we've got to. So, you know, we have to go back in and choose to visualize.
Let me share an interesting experience I had the other day. I'm curious your thought about it, because I don't tend to be reactionary, or if I am, I usually am able to stop pretty quickly when I feel that. But I was out taking a walk the other day and I encountered another person who came at me coming down the path, and I had my dog and this person came at me. It was an older woman, came at me intensely negatively and aggressively about Tucker, about my dog. Uh-huh. And there was nothing wrong with the construct of what she was wanting to say, which was ultimately she just wanted to say, hey, I don't feel safe that your dog is off a leash. Would you please put your dog on leash? That's really what was the essence. But what came out of her mouth was a war.
Yes.
Was an attack. And I looked at her, and I don't do this, and I swear to you, I blew my own mind. But I looked at her and I said, shut up. And I walked past her. I just said, I don't want nothing to do with your energy. I want nothing to do with your delusion. I want nothing to do with your ugliness. Just shut up and go away. And I walked past her and I was just kind of like, wow. But what it struck in me was this powerful, there's a place where compassion is important. There's a place where allowing for all opportunity or all experience is the source of love, is what love is about. But it also seems that there is this, if evil does not relent, then rebuke it. Do not attend to that energy. Do not attempt to change that energy, because it isn't interested in change.
Right.
And if it's not interested in change, right, don't engage it, or don't allow it to, because as you were talking about, those influences that influence our belief systems, mm-hmm. I'm like, no, you don't. You could have come at me from any number of directions that could have been positive and could have been engaging and connecting us. And you chose to come at me with a combative, nasty energy. I want nothing to do with that.
Right. Well, you know, what's interesting while you're saying that, as a former New York City resident.
Yes, me too. Years, me too.
Well, there was a belief that the way you got what you wanted was to be aggressive. And I remember my father, I know that he had come from a generation where the belief was the loudest voice wins, you know, it's like, the more aggressive I am, the more you have to back down, you know?
Yeah.
And so we get that belief, and then we don't even think that I could just say to that guy, you know, I feel uncomfortable. Because the other person also has that belief system, maybe, that they have to, you know, be aggressive in their defense. So you know, we all have our experiences. We all have those interactions, whether we are asked.
I apologize. That was a bit of a curveball, but the purpose and what I was really wanting to find out in this is, hopefully, is there an element of this as we get to this culmination or this pinnacle of this, the beliefs versus truths,
yeah,
where it's not about coddling people. It's not about, it's not, it, you can hold a space of love. Yeah. And I did. After I passed her, I said, I send this being a lot of love, but I don't want her energy in my field. I don't want her in my space. I don't want any of it.
Yeah.
But I can send you love. But is there, is that just a one-off kind of energy? Because it's not something I'm used to in myself, that there was this bam, you know.
I have said things to people, all right, like sort of during a certain cycle where, you know, we weren't wondering if we were going to actually get somebody inaugurated kind of cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was holding a vision. I have been holding vision. I'm practicing this. It's new stuff for me too, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm holding this vision. And so, you know, somebody calls me and starts giving me all the fear that they have about it. And I just, this is what I said. I don't have ears to hear this. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about this thing that you're running here, I didn't say it like that. Go talk to other people if you want to about it. But I don't, I'm doing this. This is what I'm doing. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, there's a time when you just, you have to set a boundary on what you're willing to absorb, you know,
yes,
in terms of someone else's energy.
And does that sort of show evidence itself in this coming energy? Is that part of what we're dealing or part of what? I bring these things because when I have an unusual experience energetically, I'm thinking, that's an impact I was not expecting, to have that sort of, yeah, no, I'm not entertaining your feel. I'm not entertaining your delusion. No.
Well, you had that feeling maybe was the thing she needed. You know, you'll never know.
True.
You'll never really know. But, you know, I think that what I said was instructive for this person because it, all the fear stuff didn't happen that was in that conversation.
Yeah. And maybe that might have been a softer way for me to have gone about it. In the moment, well, it was just like.
Well, I mean, it doesn't. I was talking to a friend. So. Yeah.
There you go. I apologize for that sort of meandering around. I want to
is the Mars in Gemini also. You know, that I said the heat in the head, you know.
Yes.
We have Mercury in Aries, which is like the same thing. It's the mind with the Aries rules. Yeah. So, you know, we're having to monitor our environments to be able to realize that this is why, if you realize this energy is up, then you sort of prepare yourself to be, in the right place at the right time.
Yes. We have about a minute and a half. Okay. So I'm going to ask if you would, with regard to these beliefs and truths, take this minute to just tell everybody what we can, where they can kind of, maybe put their focus or what we want to be aware of moving into these next few weeks that will help people kind of move through this in a.
Yeah. Well, I would say that what we can do to help ourselves and prepare ourselves for this eclipse energy is to just sit and think about some of the beliefs that are causing blocks for you. And, you know, do whatever you do. You have techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you do to allow yourself to soften the edges around those beliefs and see if there's another thought that can come in, you know.
I like that.
And allow that, especially, again, we're dealing with relationships with other people, with the full moon. So allow yourself to examine how, just like you said, if I have an interaction with my friend, how do I hold a boundary? And should I hold a boundary? I mean, yeah. What's the belief?
Good. I want to say here, too, that with regard to beliefs versus truth. So truth is a consistent presentation of energy. Truth does not deviate in its field. It doesn't wobble. It's just when something is presented as truth, it has a visceral thing to me. It's a clarity that resonates. Mm-hmm. Beliefs are very different. So for people who are trying to say, well, how am I going to know? It's really easy, really, because if you feel a rub, that means your belief is rubbing up against a truth that you're not in agreement or don't understand. So to Shelley's point, it's just simply a process of sitting back, getting more observant of your experience and recognizing that there's something in you that is being confronted by truth. What is that? And what is that belief that you're carrying? What's the story you've told yourself about that thing that's preventing you from seeing the truth of that experience? And that's the observer position for me is where you're going to find that. It's tough sometimes because you get reactive, but you know, you get into that, but the reaction is your notification that you are rubbing up against truth. That's the place you stop and go, oh, I'm rubbing. Oh, okay. Instead of going, grrr, you go, oh, wait, let me take a step back. And that's really, to me, the beauty and magnificence of all of this is you see that influence and you can become conscious of it so you can respond to it instead of react to it. And that's the beauty of it. So
that's the place to get to.
Shelley, I appreciate you so much. I love this conversation. I hope that all of you out there got some value from learning a little more about these influences and how you can respond and be a part of the energetic interaction that's going on with us all the time. But have an amazing day. We will see you next time, which will be, I guess, next Wednesday. This is Wednesday. It'll be Friday.
I believe that's true, Jim.
That's a perfect note to end. Have a great day, guys. Thank you very much. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thesciencetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.